how significant that we take time on an occasion such as this and stare at the cross. How important that today, of all days, as we remember the body and the blood of Jesus, that we remember the cross. We stop, we stare, and we feel the weight of the cross and its consequences for our lives. And we remember this truth. The wisdom of God has ordained a way for the love of God to deliver us from the wrath of God without compromising the justice of God. His name is Jesus. The New Testament is the Holy Spirit's commentary on the Old Testament. If you want to know what the Old Testament means, why certain things happened the way they did, and in the case of today, why there's so much blood in the New Testament, or the Old Testament, you just read the New Testament. The wisdom of God has ordained a way for the love of God to deliver us from the wrath of God without compromising the justice of God. His name is Jesus. Our reading today from the New Testament comes from the letter to the Hebrews, the 9th chapter. As we look at chapters 9 and 10, we're going to continually be brought in our focus to a phrase that's often pictured standing on its own, and that is, let us draw near to God. And I want that invitation to be in our minds as we consider chapters 9 and chapter 10. Let us draw near to God. If you're looking at a Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 1013, Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 1. The writer says this: that first covenant between God and Israel had regulations for worship and a place of worship here on earth. There were two rooms in that tabernacle. In the first room were a lampstand, a table, and the sacred loaves of bread on the table. This room was called the holy place. Then there was a curtain, and behind the curtain was the second room called the most holy place. In that room were a gold incense altar and a wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered with gold on all sides. Inside the ark were a gold jar containing manna, Aaron's staff that had sprouted leaves, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover, the place of atonement. But we cannot explain these things in detail now, he says. When these things were all in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins of the people that were committed in ignorance. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use. This is an illustration pointing to the present time. For the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciences of the people who bring them. For that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. Now, for many, when you come to a passage like this, you just tend to skip it to get on to something relevant. Often that's the opinion, because it seems so foreign, it seems so old, it seems so irrelevant. But don't be fooled, friends. It's relevant. It's relevant because there's There's one thing that modern life and scientific progress and psychological therapies and medical discoveries have not made the slightest advance in solving. There's one issue that 2015, as we consider all of the conveniences and all of the intelligence that we claim to have, there's one thing that is not fixed. We haven't gained an inch, and that is the issue of guilt. A troubled, stained, anxious conscience. Hebrews 9 and 10 are all about how people with stained consciences can draw near to God. Isn't it remarkable that when we spend an evening isolated in front of our computer or our smartphone, addicted, as it were, to work or to pornography or video games, the issue at the end of it all is not the wonders of technology or science. The issue is, how can I come to God when I feel so dirty? And how can I come to my wife and children with authentic, transparent love when my conscience is so defiled? And if you're not into smartphones and computers, then just pick your sin: the worship of sport or food or romance novels or stock market pages or any other idol that takes center stage instead of God. Isn't it remarkable that the basic problems of life never change? The circumstances change. The numbers on the calendar change. But the basic problems just don't budge. We are humans. And we have consciences that witness to our sinfulness with testimonies of real guilt. And we know that what keeps us away from God is not dirty hands or soiled clothes or distance, as it were, in an Old Testament sense, from an altar or priest. What keeps us from God is real sin echoing in a condemning conscience. We just can't shake it. And yet we have Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, which says, draw near to God. And we think, that's a great invitation. But then Hebrews 9, 27 challenges us, because it says that it's appointed for man once to die and then to face the judgment. And so our mind races back to Hebrews 10, 22, and we say, well, how does one draw near to the judge? When you're in a courtroom, the judge kind of has a commanding presence. He's elevated. He's got the robe on. And it's not in the minds of too many people to draw near to the judge. A lot of people would rather just keep their distance, right? But yet we have the judge. We have the God of the universe who says to us, draw near to me. And echoing from St. Peter is, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now, some do not draw near to God because of shame, stained, guilty, anxious conscience. I remember many years ago, a friend of mine, Brandon, who was not a believer, enjoyed talking to me about spiritual things, about my relationship with Jesus. We would talk, we worked together, and it was comfortable. I didn't really push too hard, but he was interested in talking with me. And one time he said this to me: I could never be a Christian. I said, well, why, Brandon? He looked at me and he said, I've done too many bad things. You don't know where I've been, you don't know what I've done. He was considerably older than me. He said, I don't think God could love me. And I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. Maybe sometimes you feel that way. There's a message in Hebrews that speaks of a present time. Now, this author is reminding these folks that have come out of Judaism of their heritage, the Old Covenant. But he speaks in chapter 9, verse 11, of a present time where we live. And this is relevant. This is what the new period is about. God has done something in history, not in some timeless realm of ideas. Friends, it solves the deepest problem we have in the modern world. The problem of our troubled conscience. The old period, the old covenant, only pointed to the solution. It didn't provide the solution. It just pointed to the solution. It didn't solve the problem. But Jesus comes, and he solves the problem of guilt. And that's what bread and juice remind us of. That God himself has solved this problem of guilt, of a troubled, anxious, guilty, stained conscience. So in verse 11 of chapter 9, the writer says this: "So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever." Do you know that the word blood occurs in the letter to the Hebrews 21 times? And that the word blood occurs in the Bible 277 times? The writer says, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And so here we are in the modern age. Are we not? The age of science, space travel, email, smartphones, heart transplants. Heart transplants are done almost every day in Philadelphia. And our problem is fundamentally the same as always. Our consciences condemn us and make us feel unacceptable to God. We're alienated from God. We don't feel good enough to come to him. And no matter how distorted our consciences are, that is true, really, that we are not good enough to come to him. But there is an answer. God provides the only answer. The only answer in this modern age, as in every other age, is the blood of Jesus Christ. When your conscience rises up and condemns you, where will you turn? Where will you go? Hebrews 9:14 gives you the answer. Turn to Christ. Turn to the blood of Christ. Turn to the only cleansing agent in the universe that can give you relief and life and peace. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I urge you this morning to turn to Jesus Christ. Turn to Christ and receive this free gift that he bought at an infinite price, the gift of perfect forgiveness and cleansing. Remember that blood is the currency of God. And Revelation speaks of Jesus as being worthy to open the scrolls. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who purchased men for God, who by his blood purchased men for God. Blood is the currency, the blood of Jesus. Some people have a problem drawing near to God because of shame. Some people try to cover that shame with false confidence, and they draw near to God, but their approach is flawed. Because as they draw near to God, they present Him with a list of their accomplishments. And I think of my own life this week, I could say, well, I mowed my lawn. My trees have mulch around them. Woohoo! I voted this week. Did you vote? I cast my vote. I did dishes this week. I did laundry this week. I think to myself, you know, I worked pretty hard this week. I was nice to our staff this week. You know, I think to myself, well, there's a lot of things that I did this week that are, you know, admirable. Many people think like that, and they think that that's what puts them in a right relationship with God. You ask them, why are you in a right relationship with God? And they'll say, well, I, and then they'll repeat, I, and fill in the blank. You know, I'm faithful to my wife. I'm a good worker. I squeeze the toothpaste from the top or from the bottom to the top. That's the only way to do it, right? Okay? And they just present this list of accomplishments. But they're living in denial because they don't see, they refuse to see that human effort, human righteousness does not have the power to atone for human sin. Hebrews chapter 9 says this, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Why is blood so important? Because that's the life. The old covenant, they didn't bleed animals. They killed them. And they gave the ultimate sacrifice. They shed their blood and they died. And the New Testament comes along with a better covenant, because the old one is inadequate. And the better covenant is simply this, that Jesus Christ has offered Himself. And He gave His life blood. He gave Himself as atonement. And because He was perfect, that atonement is powerful. Powerful enough to cancel out human error. Powerful enough to cleanse the conscience. Powerful enough to give us confidence before God. I think about the scripture that's listed on your note sheet today. As we prepare to take communion, I want you to think about these words. But now, once for all time, Jesus has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by His own death as a sacrifice. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for Him. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. This is the good news, friends. The wisdom of God has ordained a way for the love of God to deliver us from the wrath of God without compromising the justice of God. And His name is Jesus Christ. The great invitation is to draw near to God. And the beauty of the cross is that the blood of Jesus offers us the confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies, enter into the presence of God the Father, with the assurance that we are forgiven, that our conscience, our guilty, stained, anxious conscience can be brought under this blood. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, how much more will this cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This morning I urge you to turn to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus right now and recognize the beauty of the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This morning, as we celebrate this goodness of God, receiving the bread and the cup, remember that once and for all, Christ offered Himself as the atoning sacrifice of our sins. And because of His blood, because of His death, because of His resurrection, we need not be plagued by guilt. We need not be burdened to the point of not being willing or able or thinking that God would love us or forgive us, and that we ought to come keeping short accounts with Him and rejoicing in that salvation. I ask that you would bow your heads, close your eyes, and take a few moments and give thanks to God for this indescribable gift that comes by grace through faith. Praise His name, delight in Him as you prepare to receive the bread and the cup today. Be glad that you don't have to guess whether you're in a right relationship with God. Be glad that you don't have to be good enough, but that Jesus was good enough. Jesus is enough. You worship this morning.